and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of the book of Ephesians, we left off with chapter 5 and verse 11. Now, we discussed that, and we looked at one specific word there that I believe is very important, and that word is darkness. And we, as Christians, we look many times at unsaved people as walking in darkness. Well, they do. But on the other hand, we see some Christians who walk in darkness. It's as though they have not learned the precepts of God or the principles and the teaching of God. And when temptation has been placed before us by the wicked, we are not to err from the precepts of God. Psalm 119, verse 110 says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts." We are to stay close to the Lord, and we're to listen to him as to what he says. But some people, and I mentioned this before, they believe that social drink is all right to do. Well, the Bible is specific that we are not to even look upon wine when it moveth aright. That means when it's fermented. We're not to partake of those things that people who are unsaved do. We're not to partake of something that God says do not do. And I found that some Christians try to make alibis as to why they sin or why they, let's say, partake of drink, social drinking. Some bring up the fact that Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, I'm not going to get into the fact that that was not fermented wine that Jesus turned water into. I'm not going to get into that right now. That will be a teaching later on. But that verse and those verses that teach that Jesus turned water into wine has nothing to do with fermentation or alcohol. Some people would go so far as to think it's all right to gamble, to buy lottery tickets. But the Bible says the fool and his money are soon parted. That is taught in the Word of God, and that precept is there. And P.T. Barnum, if you remember, I said the last time, P.T. Barnum said, "There's a sucker born every minute. Don't give a sucker an even break." And it seems that many of these states that have the lotteries, they've learned that thing of P.T. Barnum, that saying, "There is a sucker born every minute." Don't fall for that, especially you who are Christians, and especially you who are listening right now, even if you do not know Jesus as Savior. Don't fall into the trap that is laid there by the devil. Now, as I've said before, we are not to be involved with the works of darkness. That's us saved people. But to call it like it is, sin, and so-called social drinking or gambling, this is lottery, betting of any kind, is not condoned in any way in God's Word, the Bible. Some says, "Well, I haven't read that." Well, let me ask you, how much of the Bible have you read? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Also, Proverbs 16:25 says the same thing. So we've seen the word darkness now in verse 11. In fact, let me read verse 11 of Ephesians 5 once again. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Stay away from it, "but rather reprove them." And the question is, why? Well, Ephesians 5:12 goes ahead and says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." That's why we are to abstain from the things of darkness. Now, being in the darkness of secrecy, being concealed, gives the ungodly courage to lose all inhibitions and gives those who are partaking of this the hope that what they do in secret will go unpunished. Well, when the ungodly, behind closed doors of their houses, withdraw from the view of men. It's a shame even to speak of the wickedness and corruptness that they have with all manner of promiscuity. Now, it is shameful and embarrassing to even mention what goes on behind closed doors of the unsaved. Well, I must say that it's embarrassing for a saved person to mention the ungodly wickedness or any corruptness of the unsaved done in secret. It's not only embarrassing for the person who repeats ungodly things, it's embarrassing for the person who hears of ungodly immorality. We're not to even speak of those things. It's embarrassing. And I would remind you that Paul is still warning the church at Ephesus as we read the book of Ephesians. He's warning the church at Ephesus to stay away from ungodliness. He warns that church that it is to stay away from not only those things that the ungodly are marked by, but to also be on guard for those who deceive God's people with worthless, wicked, corrupting words. And of course, we've studied that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, the children of God are to walk as children of light. Remember, in verse 11, we saw the word darkness. But the children of God are to walk in light, and they are to prove to the lost world around them what is good and acceptable to God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 talks about this, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Remember, we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians tells us that how that we are to live, what to do and what not to do. Unfruitful works of darkness would be works that bring glory to the devil instead of bringing glory to God. You see, instead of being partakers or condoners of those things the unsaved do in secret, we are to reprove and rebuke the ungodly for those things that God calls sin. We're to say it like it is. Sin is sin. Sin is wrong. Well, will those who we witness to and those people we tell about sin, those people we witness to, will they always listen to us and let the Lord save them? Now, of course, the answer is no. Will the unsaved always listen to rebuke from God as found in His Word? The answer again is no. Well, what does the Bible say about reproving, rebuking a person who is a scorner, a ridiculer of the word of correction found in God's Word? Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Reprove a scorner, a ridiculer of the Word of God, with the Word of God, telling that person the error of his or her ways. It's going to, many times, cause that person to hate, or in other words, extremely dislike you. Humans, by nature, if you did not already know this, humans by nature do not like to be corrected. And this is especially true because of sinful pride. The Bible, in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8 that we've read, intimates that the person who does not accept what the Bible says about him or her is really not a wise person. You see, the wise person will listen to you as you present the Word of God and will love you for showing him or her the error in their life. Well, the greatest error that anyone could be guilty of is to think they can go to heaven the way they are. And many individuals think they are not too bad. So God will weigh the good they believe and the bad in their lives and at the end of the life, and hopefully their good will outweigh the bad in God's judgment of them. However, God's Word tells us that no one goes to heaven on their own goodness. Now, if you're saved, you realize this, but many unsaved people don't know this. They think they're going to heaven on their own goodness, and in fact, the Bible is plain. No one goes to heaven by their good. A person's good is not good enough. The Bible's plain. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Well, why is that? The Bible goes on to say, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that. And the Bible is plain when it says in Titus 3:5, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And let me remind you, saved person, that you're not saved by your own works. You realize that if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. And you realize that after you get saved, that good works are to follow. That you and I, as saved people, are to follow the Lord and do his bidding. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ, and that we are to serve the Lord wholeheartedly because he first loved us. It's not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to the righteousness of God. It's according to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that righteousness, you and I who name Jesus a Savior, we have the privilege of serving him every day of our life. We need to be serving him wholeheartedly, telling other individuals about Jesus saves. But the unsaved person today needs to be warned. People must go God's way to heaven because there is no other way. When a person listens to foolish pride or just plain stubborn when it comes to making sure of heaven, the stubborn scorner needs to be reminded, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 14:12. Do you know him today as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted him? If you have trusted him as Lord and Savior, are you listening to him? Are you doing what he would ask you to do, not to be saved, but because you are saved? Are you attending fellowship with other individuals, other saved people? And that means that you're a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Some people say that it's not necessary to belong to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Well, that's true. It's true that you don't get saved by joining a church, by anything other than through the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing on him, by trusting him as Lord and Savior. That's the only way a person is saved. But the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But we're to join other believers. We're to join in fellowship, in the breaking of bread. And what that means, the breaking of the bread of life, the Word of God, of getting into the book and learning more and more. And we do that as we gather our hearts together in one place. And that would be in the local church, a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God. You and I have a responsibility of joining ourselves together as saved people, being a witness to this lost and dying world, letting them see that we love each other so much that we're together in one place serving God, just as the early church did in Jerusalem. The Bible says they were of one accord. They were in one place, in one accord, in that local church in Jerusalem. If you do not belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, and if you're in Ocala, Florida, or surrounding area, let me invite you to Central Baptist Church, where the Word of God is preached, where church is still church. Central Baptist Church, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue. That's Ocala. Dr. Andy Bloom is the pastor who preaches the Word of God right from the book, the King James Bible.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.